listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. Last session at the Nasty Table.
Quick question. Do we get food for this?
No.
God is soul. We got his soul too.
Right. All walks are welcome to the Adventurer's Guild. Paladin, he just came back from a long journey. He might know something.
Dogs, you said?
Yeah.
Now, Rook, what were you going around saying in that office? We're going to keep what's between us, okay? And I kind of pull open this little pouch.
Give it a try.
Buckets, he fell down. I think it's a leg fracture.
The wind with, like these flower petals.
Fix his leg.
That's what I do.
Generally friendly if you approach correctly.
We heard that they were cannibals.
Not that I saw.
I don't have any bookkeeping stuff to go over. The one thing I do want to ask, though, and we don't have to wait till the recap to just ask now. My spellcasters, man, how we doing on spell slots?
Not good. I have one cantrip left.
Well, you don't lose cantrips.
Yeah, you can use cantrips as many times as you want. So you have no spell slots.
Yeah, no.
Woof. But yeah, if you have like two cantrips, you have three.
I'm still getting used to this thing.
So you have two spell slots, two level one spell slots,
yep.
And you cast Detect Magic and then Cure Wounds.
Yeah.
And then have you guys casted any spell slot stuff?
I don't think I've cast. No.
I only have one spell slot left. But I haven't cast any spells.
You only have one spell slot?
I only have one spell slot.
You guys want to go right into a recap? Motherfucking recap?
It was a leg injury.
What was his name?
Buckets?
Buckets!
Buckets! Minecart.
Yes.
Fucking
Buckets.
Unreal.
Minecart.
This is my brother, Minecart. This is my other brother, Minecraft.
This is my third brother, Acacia Trapdoor. Yeah, Buckets got hurt. You wasting a spell slot on that floppy?
That's what Rook would have done.
Gained us,
beautiful.
Curried us favor.
Really did. They were, or at least Tord was, openly pouring out gratefulness.
And they offered a bunch of stuff to us. It wasn't for nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got a nice night's rest before our arrival.
Got some food.
Good food.
Talking about food.
Stew.
Got some info that these guys like.
How many spell slots do you have?
Me?
Yes.
Two. But I have zero right now. I used them all. Two max. What do you mean?
Detect magic, cure wounds, and then you cast entangle in the fight.
What? Don't all look at me like you're gonna put me in jail.
No,
what am I supposed to do?
This is rule stuff. But how many spell slots does a level one druid have? In the book. Where's the book? Grab the book. So it is two.
Yeah, fucked up. My bad.
That's okay. I would have allowed it for flavor's sake.
I thought cure wounds was a cantrip.
No, cure wounds was a cantrip. No one would ever rest for health.
Yeah. No, you can't. There's no cantrips that...
No cantrips healed.
That, yeah. That restore health. Is there even, like, a temporary hit point cantrip?
False life?
That's a...
Level 1 spell?
Yeah. Because I have it.
I don't believe so, no.
There's no cantrip that heals?
No.
There is no cantrip that heals.
Think about it. Why would you ever rest for health if you can just have someone cast a cantrip on you 20,000 times?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay. I was thinking... I thought that there were a ton, but the thing is, it's healing spells that are bonus actions versus spells. It's like action economy.
Yeah.
Healing Word is a bonus action, I think.
Yes. Healing Word is... Lay on hands is
a bonus action, but it's also not a spell. It's a paladin feature.
Okay.
I know D&D. yeah. Mechanically, you couldn't have casted that spell, but even if you said to me, hey, Joe, I want to cast this spell, but I don't have a spell slot, I would probably still have allowed it just because it's cool and it doesn't really help you guys. And anything that doesn't really help you guys in combat, that's pretty cool to me.
So let's maybe, all try so fucking hard to make this help us.
Maybe
so
it just... wasn't a full power cure wounds. You could feel like you were tapping the ends of your...
I thought the first like spell that I did, you were like... You like let it go or something like that.
No, not Entangle.
Okay.
Entangle, detect magic, right. And then yeah. So yeah, Rook was at the you could feel like the ends of your magical abilities for, you know, that allocated period of time, and just like this little bit of healing magic that just kind of trickled out right at the very end there. But yeah, you did that. Very nice of you. So, as the sun crests up in the horizon, Honto finishes his watch in the salt miners' camp. Kree, Rook, and Levi still sleep. With the circle of vultures assumed to be only 3 or so hours away, what do you want to do, Honto?
I'm going to, before I wake everyone up, right as the sun's rising, meditate one more time. In the peace and quiet.
In the peace and quiet. The fire still crackling quieter than it was when you begun your shift. You're able to find some semblance of peace, shards of inner peace trying to be put back together. To you, at this moment, it almost feels like a puzzle. Which is odd. The last couple of nights, meditation for you has taking more effort than you're used to.
Do I notice the same thing throwing me out of meditation at the end as I did last night?
No, it's a lot more subsided, almost as if you've internalized it and taking a sample of the thing that broke you out of it, you're able to then pull that out of any incoming, you know, energies or sounds or anything like that.
So that was pretty specific to last night. Okay.
Definitely. And it feels that way, for sure.
Okay. All right, I'll get up and go around and wake everyone up.
Okay. Walking into the tent, Kree, Levi, and Rook in various spots across this larger tent. You are awoken by Honto.
I want to use my Hex Warrior feat to touch my blade so I can become proficient in it.
Gotcha.
Did you see anything on your watch, Honto?
No, it was peaceful. But I'm having trouble concentrating. It's interesting. Feels like we're close to something. I'm not sure. I don't know. Why don't we get breakfast and get a move on, no?
Let's do it.
Exiting the tent, you see Tord coming out of a tent. Looks like he's holding a small basket, wicker basket, with some stuff. He sees you as you exit your tent, and he looks up.
Good night.
Yes, it was peaceful. Like the rest of our nights out here so far.
And you should count yourself lucky. Most nights aren't.
I suppose we are. Do you have any more food?
Yes, I'm preparing breakfast.
Gentlemen.
Takes some time, goes over to the fire, kind of maneuvers the coals in a way and adds more wood on top. He begins cooking, and what are you guys doing in the meantime?
Tonto's kind of just stretching out, getting a couple push-ups in, just maybe getting a little catnap in because he had the last shift.
I'm taking a look at what he's making.
Looks like he's preparing some sort of sauce, like a thick gravy.
Rook looks at it and he goes, gross.
Well, tastes quite good, I promise.
I didn't want him to hear it.
He heard you.
Fuck. Okay, I believe you.
You hear a voice from behind you coming out of the tent say, hello. Turn around to see a man who is leaning on what looks like a crutch with the drape of the tent opened, leaning out. The man who was laying in the bed. Buckets.
I know his name's Buckets.
He was mentioned by name as Buckets. Okay.
Hello, Buckets.
Tor tells me that you helped me.
I cast a simple healing spell on your leg there.
Thank you.
It looked like it hurt.
Yes, it's still a little tender, but better than it was.
Anything for a friend.
He kind of like looks off, just kind of like looks into your hollow eyes for a few seconds, and then kind of like smiles a little
Rook
bit.
Rook smiles.
Thank you again.
I would do it again if I had to.
Gives you a nod, and turns around, goes back into the tent, and you look back over at Tord, who's mixing up something on the pot, and it looks like he's smiling pretty widely. Pulls out a couple metal-looking plates, starts dishing out what looks like chunks of crusted bread, like hardened on the edges, with this gravy sauce on top.
Here you are.
I take it. I sniff it.
Does not smell like you expected.
Good. Take a bite.
Take a
Do
bite.
I like it.
Yeah, it smells good. It tastes good. It's just a lot of spices that you kind of weren't expecting. It almost tastes like French toast.
Ooh.
But a lot of cinnamon. The bread kind of soaks up this gravy in a way that makes it taste a little bit sweet too. And it's just generally good tasting. He sets up a couple other plates and motions towards everybody else.
Yeah, I grab one.
Yeah. And then one to Cree.
Same. Yeah.
He sits down and eat. The other two guys, the two bald guys, come out too, and they sit down and eat as well. Tord, in the middle of eating, looks up.
So, you'll head out to the camp.
That's right. We will. And I, like, look up at everybody as we're sitting down. I hate to ask this. I understand money may not be, you know, the most plentiful thing that you have, but do you have a lot of food here?
Enough for us to get back to the drift. Okay. If I had more, I could spare it.
Understood.
But you're still welcome to any of our tools. We might be able to fashion a wagon.
No, this is more than enough. This is more than enough, thank you.
You can take the leftovers, I'll put them in a Tupperware. Give you a doggy bag.
I don't trust the Tupperware, I only like Betty Crocker. Thank you.
No. Your meal completes. Tord stands up, straightens out his overalls.
We're gonna close up the camp and make our way. But if you ever find yourself in the drift, please, you're always a friend of the Ronabar clan.
I step up and I fucking raise my hand to shake it.
And he reaches down, kind of has to get down a little bit, like bend his knees a little bit, but shakes it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you need of us?
No, you've done plenty.
Are you sure?
We needed help now, but believe me, we are capable men.
Very well. I'm sure we'll see you in the future.
I hope so. Thank you again.
Looks like he begins to start the process of, like, taking down the tents.
I turn to Kree.
Hop on in.
Walk up and hop in that satchel.
Into the satchel you go, a return to the womb.
It's
cozy.
Do we need any of these tools?
I'm okay.
Last call.
What do we want? You want to look?
Nah, I already gave it a gander. Unless anybody sees anything in here worth...
I see anything that I think looks worth it at all?
Yeah, so you peruse it. A lot of tools. Picks, shovels, hammers. A lot of, like, chisels, like I mentioned to Levi before. As you're kind of taking a look, I would say that if you take, like, 10 minutes or so, you would probably be able to fashion enough tools in here to make a masonry toolkit.
Can I make one?
Yeah, you start taking the time. It looks like, you know, Rook's taking the time to go through everything, picking through, moving large sacks that they have of raw salt kind of out of the way, picking up this, picking up that. It is fairly heavy for the most part, but with your build, it's not too hard for you to lug it around. Fits into what looks like about a satchel, maybe the size of, say, like a hiking bag, almost.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, you have one set of mason tools. Bet.
Onwards.
Let's go.
Start walking.
Start walking. You guys begin your trek. 30 minutes go by as the Ranabar's camp in the distance slowly exits your view. This area has a lot more dunes than is typical so far as you guys have been walking. I mentioned that last session. But you continue on. 30 minutes go by trekking through the sand. Another 30 minutes past that. Anything that you guys say on that first hour? Another 30 minutes past that. 2 hours in. Much, as has been explained prior, becomes apparent. Far in the distance, a swarm of birds. Twisting, curving, and it's very off-putting. It's almost like this giant, breathing, black cloud. And it's undulating, expanding, and contracting. You guys are on the top of a dune, so from this distance you can see what looks like probably about 45 minutes to an hour walk ahead, a collection of tents, various shapes, materials, sizes, different colors, and surrounding this tent camp appears to be crafted barricades. From this distance, it's hard to make it out. Maybe sharpened sticks, piles of rocks, things like that. But it's in the distance.
Well, what do you say?
Shall we walk right out front?
I start walking.
Same.
Right down the dune.
Yep.
Continuing down, walking for another 15, 20 minutes, and you can see what does appear to be a main entry. It's still a ways away, but it looks like it's a break in this barricade, this central break in this barricade, and a few figures standing around it. Get a little bit closer, now closing the distance. The figures become a little bit more apparent. Looks like they're both wielding spears. Hard to make out race or gender still, but you also see off to the left, outside of the limits of this camp, near these two posted people, an elevated wooden beam that's sticking out of the ground, probably about 7 feet tall, with a man hanging from it, upside down by his leg, the other leg just dangling. Looks like he's naked and not moving, bloodied. Does anyone stop or do you guys continue?
Human?
Maybe. A little bit closer, you'd probably be able to make out more details.
Okay. I keep moving.
I want to get closer to it.
Continuing closer. A lot more details are apparent. As you guys are closing the distance, the guards, you can see, are armed. They're both female. They're both wearing orange robes. And they're looking at you. Now you can see this man that's hanging upside down is a human. He is a man. He's bloodied. The two guards, probably I'd say at this point you guys are maybe 20 yards from the entrance. 20 yards from this entrance. 15 yards from this figure that's hanging upside down. And the guards are right next to the entrance. What do you guys do? And they're just looking at you.
How fresh does it look? The body.
You'd have to get a little bit closer. You don't see any flies.
Have there been any flies in the desert as we've been walking through?
I would say maybe every once in a while when you're near some vegetation, you would have seen some flies.
Okay. Yeah.
You said they're armed. What are they armed with?
Looks like they're wielding spears. Now that you are closer to all of this, this giant mass of birds looks mind-boggling. Thousands, tens of thousands. Birds, they look large. And they're flying really high. But every once in a while, you'll see one or two swoop down a little bit lower, perch on the edges of one of these barricades, which you can now see are sharpened sticks atop piles of stone. The figures by the entrance, the two females, take a step or so forward, just kind of looking over you guys. You guys are still, like I said, 10 or so yards away from the hanged figure.
Pop out of the sack. I'm like peering my head over the shoulder. If we were to speak, they would be able to hear us, right? I mean, we're close enough.
Yeah, but they're just quiet, just looking.
Okay. I'll say, like, yeah, I'll pop my head out and kind of over Rook's shoulder. I'll say, like, Circle of the Vulture. We are coming from Talverna. We slayed a basilisk who your people fought and died fighting for. And I grab the fucking amulet and I show them the amulet that we took. And I'm like, this is proof that this is where we are from. Do you know the people that went to Talverna?
The one off to the right takes 2-3 steps ahead, closing the distance, 4-5, walking calmly. Almost like dragging her legs through the sand as she walks. She's got the spear in her left hand and now is up close to you. And you can see her, like I mentioned, these orange robes. She looks a little older, maybe like 40, mid-40s. Reaches out to grab. Are you holding up the necklace that you took or the carved sigil that you took? Or not, I'm sorry, not carved, but a painted sigil that was on the armors.
The necklace has the sigil too, right?
No, it does not.
Oh, then, yeah, I'd hold the sigil out.
Okay, and she grabs it, looks at it, looks at you sticking out of the bag attached to Rook. What is your business here?
We are looking for the eggs of Aluhana, the dragon. We believe your people have went there looking for the eggs too. We came here mostly to, well, one, report that they will not be coming back because they are dead, and two, if we can negotiate for the eggs.
Roll persuade.
I want to use Zinspo.
Sure.
Nine.
She looks over you, hands the sigil patch back. Very well. Follow me. I will take you to meet Kaelin.
Levi. I kind of quietly, but if she hears, she hears.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the eye still?
I have one of them.
One is one.
Something to prove, I mean. What we ate a couple nights ago. I had to trade it for.
She turns her back to you and begins walking back the way she came. What do you guys do?
Following.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Following. Past the other posted guard, and it looks like she says something to this other posted guard. Everybody roll perception.
8.
16.
6.
7.
Who got 16?
I did.
You catch it. She says, keep an eye on Jorn.
Does she look? Do either of them look in any direction after she says that?
No.
Okay.
The figure, the guard that has been speaking to you, walks directly in through this main entryway, turns back, watches you guys cross in. Inside this camp, it's honestly fairly lively. And the estimated population of 90 to 100 seems pretty accurate. Separate tents are set up. There's scattered furnishings and fires. There's pots that are bubbling. There's a woman that's plucking feathers from a dead vulture. There's a guy who's just stringing a bow. Two kids are running around chasing each other with sticks. You begin to progress through this camp. A few odd glances are shot your way, but nothing that lingers too long. Nobody stares. Some people will look up, assess the situation, go back to whatever they were doing. The one thing that is very noticeable here is the lighting. So the birds that are flying above are doing so silently, just dead quiet. It doesn't sound any different than any other part of this desert that you've walked through, but they're blocking out light in a way that is reminiscent of almost like if you're walking through a windy forest and the canopy that's above is casting these dancing shadows below. When you're walking in the park in noon and the trees are blocking off the light in certain parts, that's what these birds look like they're doing. And it's very odd. It's just a little bit jarring where you almost get the sense as if you're walking through a forest. But you're ushered through here. You also see a spot that has a stable set up. There's two camels, a couple horses that are set up there. Looks like some of them have wagons connected to them. In the center of this camp, there's this figure piece. You see this large, protruding red rock, probably 20 or so feet tall, and it has a flat top. There's stairs that are seemingly carved into it to allow some sort of ascension to get all the way up. But you're still just kind of walking straight by. It doesn't look like there's one designated portion for tents, one designated portion for this, one designated portion for that. It just seems like people have tents set up, camps, you know, different, like I said, furnishings and fires outside of their own tents. But you continue off. You guys feel like you're probably in a centralized location in this camp. Any questions so far? Anything that your characters would be looking for or looking at? Any conversations that you guys have between yourselves or anything that you guys do? You're still being actively ushered further in.
Are they acting like normal? Like is this like we might as well be walking through like a tavern, and that's the kind of characters that we're seeing or personalities that we're witnessing? Or
they
like...
do seem particularly reserved, I would say.
Okay.
Was there any like trading or like marketplace that we saw here?
You did not, no.
Okay. And it's been all same race, same?
Yeah, all humans. Okay. All humans.
Can we get a better look at like what kind of birds these are now that they're straight above us?
Roll nature.
Yeah, I'll help him. I want to look as well.
Go ahead. You can roll two.
19.
19?
8.
8. The one thing that makes it hard is that they are flying way higher than you've typically seen birds fly. There's no clouds in the sky, so it's not difficult to see them. One of them that you kind of have your eye on as you're tracking it makes its way on the spiral descent down, almost like a corkscrew pattern, lands on a nearby fence. You can see it clear as day. Turkey buzzard. Large wingspan.
Is it wearing anything?
No.
Okay.
You guys continue on, and you notice that one portion of the camp is blocked off. And similarly to the entry, has two guards that are posted, barring any kind of entry. Ushered through the camp, and eventually you see this larger yurt-like tent. Brown, with orange tapestries that drape from it. There's a rack outside of it that looks like it's drying some sort of pelts. The figure guides you around this tent towards the back. You guys still continue?
Yeah.
As you continue, coming into view is this wide open vista. It looks like that this camp itself backs up to the top of a cliff, revealing a steep drop and this huge sprawling valley beyond. This view, while impressive, highlights only the barrenness of this desert. You don't see any structures, you don't see any vegetation, only the gradual gradient of the sand shifting from this area's grayish white to a muter gold color beyond. In the backyard of this tent is a tall post with two or so dozen branches extending off of it. These are perches for birds, some of which are occupied by large, crooked-necked vultures. Feather coats, various shades of brown, six of them are perched on this structure, and another two circle above. There's a figure standing beside it with a ninth vulture perched on his forearm. A human man who turns around to face you as you and the guard approach. Unlike other members you've seen, this figure is not wearing orange robes, but instead this long, cumbersome cloak made of feathers and thin strips of leather. As he turns, he looks younger, likely in his 30s. Long, thick brown beard, strands of curly hair flowing from beneath a black-colored head wrap. This head wrap only covers the top of his head. You see on both of his wrists are wrappings, and they're inset with shiny, white-colored stones. The guard speaks. Kaelin, these people have been to Talverna. The figure nods. Thank you, Talia. You can leave us. She turns around and walks away. This figure looks over the four of you. Just watches for a moment. So?
Hello, Kaelin? Yes.
He nods.
I'm Kristalos, but you may call me Kree. My companions and I, we come from Talverna. We saw several of your people dead, killed by a basilisk. One even turned to stone. We killed the basilisk. And we saw many of your people dead. And here's proof, and I show... I guess now I'll show him the amulet. Fuck it. Show me. Like, pull the amulet out. We came here freshly to tell you that your folks, some of them will not be coming back for that reason.
As you're talking, he reaches into his pocket and takes something out, and it looks like he's feeding something to the vulture on his forearm as you're talking.
And secondly, because we... We went to Talverna in the first place looking for the eggs of Alohana, and we believe you might have some that we might be able to perhaps trade with you.
Roll persuade.
I want to use a point of inspo. I have 3. I'm fucking using them. 16.
And pray tell, how many of my people were in there?
I'd say at least 3, 4.
Is it 3 or is it 4?
I look around. There's one in the nest, one that had fallen outside.
And then one.
Go ahead.
That had, well,
become stone.
Gotten away. That we thought. Four went, and only one returned, perhaps.
So do you know where this fourth one might be?
I haven't but a clue. I don't think any of us do.
We assumed here.
You entered from the front gates, correct?
Of here?
Yes.
I believe that was the front, yes.
So then you saw Jorn.
Yeah, we saw Jorn.
Yeah. We sent 4 of our members to investigate Alohana, look over the Sand Sovereign's nest. We originally wanted to see why she left the purpose behind her departure. You are right, only one returned. The man strung out outside of camp. You come seeking her eggs. The shells, I presume.
That's right.
And they are for sale. Takes another thing out of his pocket and feeds it to the vulture, and then it looks like he pops something into his mouth. Begins chewing.
Levi. Nudge at Levi.
To get things out of the way, what might be the price on them?
We're currently selling them for 20 gold each.
Each full eggs. Thank you. And, as a sign of goodwill, good faith, I would like to return to you, this, and I pull it out, cloth. This basilisk,
a trophy
for something that we did that we felt was right, boys, right?
We
saw 3 good men dead.
I believe it was a woman that was turned to stone, unfortunately. Is that correct? One of them was a woman?
Yes. Yes, Samira.
Well, regardless, we wanted to avenge them. And you should have this, and the basilisk, I'm sure Jorn told you. It was injured when they left, and we wouldn't be here unless your members did what they did to it. It was a team effort. And we are grateful.
Right. Well, I have very capable people. Hand me the eye.
Can I hand him the eye?
He kind of takes a look over it. Squishes it in his hand. You can see the goo start running down his forearm. He reaches up to the vulture, takes it into its beak, flies off of the perch on his forearm. Well, I appreciate what you've done, but these are all things that we already knew. Killing the beast makes no difference. beast was bound to die one day.
If I could ask, I think I'm assuming here, but Jorn, the man, he strung up for abandoning his post, abandoning his men, and coming back here.
Yes, he left his brother and sister within Talverna, and Jorn understands that. He's still alive, and he's a very, very gifted druid with his powers of wild shape. He could leave whenever he wants. He knows the way to forgoing a reading, and he chooses not to escape his bondage. Tell me something that Jorn might not have, the state of Talverna. I am worried of Alohanna leaving. I think it a bad omen of sorts. Only the readings will tell, but what can you tell me of that?
Did Jorn go into the depths of the cave?
I do not believe so, no. See, we've already dispatched people to collect their bodies, but as is rule, they cannot touch them until we complete what has to be completed with Jorn. El Dawakil needs to take place. And we need to wait for Jorn to die, whether it be from dehydration or his wounds. Then we can collect the bodies. But no, I don't believe they did.
Oh well, what kind of price would you put on information?
Oh, I am not uncertain that a deal could be struck. In fact, I'm quite sure of it. But I believe, in my mind, that deal begins with your My Wayan friend here, who's been rather quiet.
Hello, my name's Rook.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Rook.
Pleasure to meet you, too.
I am quite interested in your kind.
We're good people.
So I have heard. I'd like to talk to you, Rook.
Well, we can talk. Can we have the eggs?
Back to the deal. See, I would like to talk to your My Wayan friend. I'd also like you to tell me what was in Talverna. Beyond that, I'd like you to do me a favor. Based off of the four of you, what my vultures have been telling me, also like you to witness the ritual with Jorn. I think it would be beneficial to the four of you. If those things are accomplished, the eggs, what remain of them, they're yours.
Just so we're being honest, you do have at least 2.5 eggs worth of eggshells, yes?
We have 3. A portion of them were used as components to make a series of antitoxins. But we have 3.
How do we know they're real?
He just kind of looks at you. They're real. My people have many rumors spread about them, but none that say we are liars. How is it that you found our place?
We read about you in a book.
Yes, we followed the way in the book.
A book written by who?
Well, why does it matter?
Well, I've never met anyone writing a book on us. And I'd be curious of the contents.
It is an author known by the name of Elwyn.
I've not met an Elwyn. I just find it peculiar is all.
The book talks about Alduakil. It says that your people can, after performing a ritual, can see glimpses of the future.
Bits and pieces, yes. Parts of a larger whole.
Is that something we will be able to see if we stick around for it?
Oh, no. No. You can witness it, but to run the ritual is taxing. But like I said, I'd like you to stay. Enjoy. Feast with us. We have ample food. Good liquors. During that time, let me pick the brain of your Mywayan friend, and once the ritual is complete and the entrails are read, do me one favor and you're on your way.
Before we make any promises, can I ask who will be granted such a gift to see the future after the ritual, or during or before, I don't know. Who is going to be granted this gift?
That would be me. I am Kaelin of the Vultures, leader of the Circle of Vultures.
Did you send them to get the eggs, Kaelin?
I sent them to investigate the disappearance of Aluhana. With the Sand Sovereign missing, ecosystem is thrown off kilter. As I mentioned, it's an omen, a horrible, horrible omen. War, I think. But the entrails must be read to make sure of it.
I just look at Rook, like, over your shoulder, just, like, looking at you.
I look back.
Just gotta get the eggs. This is the way.
That is not the way.
You did not know the way.
But I suppose it is for now.
Well, what's the way? You have a better idea?
Oh no, it's going to take a long time to show everyone the way, but I think for now we're taking a step in the right direction. Kaelin, let's get to the deal, okay? The easiest part first, the information, I believe.
Yes.
How much is this worth? One egg, I suppose?
Oh, my lovely tabaxi friend, we could do it in a lump sum if you so cared.
Well, I'm only, testing a trader to trader, you know. What is your currency exchange? I cut a deal, you know? You seem so fixated on talking to my friend Rook.
Oh, I would love to talk to you as well. I've made friends among the Tabaxi, as well as enemies. I'm told that your people are known for a bad reputation.
No.
Thieves, charlatans, scoundrels. I don't believe that.
I could never thieve. I don't have pockets.
Well, on the flip side, a naked man fears no pickpockets either.
Okay. In Talverna, down the hallway that Jorn did not get to go down. There was some rubble, and then the female from your group was turned to stone. Beyond that rubble, we cleared it. There is a very old door. Very old. It has a elvish scripture written around it, on it, I don't know. It says, "This tomb does not celebrate any deeds. This tomb contains nothing cherished. What is found within is dangerous beyond measure in the right hands or wrong. What lies dead beyond this threshold contains no value. There was some type of lock mechanism on the outside with, I don't know, friends, five shapes, pentagons?
Puzzle pieces.
Yes. We didn't go in the door. But there was another thing in the hallway too that had opened up. Kree, you seem to know better.
It was more than an abyss. It was a chasm. It went deep, and we, Rook here, felt a disturbing presence coming from it. It was very obvious that whatever had come in to the cave and to Talverna had come in from there.
One of the great sicknesses of this world is that the dead are free to roam beneath. I do not like that. Did you see any creatures beyond?
Other than the basilisk, no.
Good. Well, and to be completely honest, my people will have found that once we go and retrieve the bodies. The basilisk, the corpse is still there.
Most of it.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
How many eggs is that worth?
I'd say about a half.
No, that...
Well, as I said, we would have found that anyway.
This hole and this door that we are telling you about is telling you to send stronger men and women than the four weak ones that you sent.
Perhaps I will.
That's what it's telling you.
Perhaps I will.
I can tell you something that is worth one egg that will possibly... It has to do with you speaking of war and the danger that Tassinia is in.
Speak clearly.
Surely you are aware of the royal Sarninion family.
I am.
They, for whatever reason, are after the eggs as well.
Now that is interesting. Yes, that is worth an egg. Did they say why?
None of us are sure.
Okay. Well, yes, you have earned one egg.
Then maybe I look down at Rook. The other egg is worth our presence tonight for the Aldua kill.
Absolutely.
We do have gold, don't we? No?
I have some.
I whisper, I have 5 gold.
Yes.
I have 9.
I have 5 as well.
I reckon we have some, but if we can save 20 for a conversation, I'm all for that.
Well, yes, but... I'm interested to see what our friend Galen here really wants from our good friend Rook. He seems quite fascinated by him.
Let's talk.
So then I say, fortunately, we need to wait a few hours till the rest of life leaves Jorn. And then we will perform the ritual. We will feast. I will read the entrails. You will be gifted your second egg. And all I need past that is a small, simple favor. Simple. You say that the presence at Talverna is strong, so I would go there myself. But I need to return to King Cadine. See, I mentioned that the eggshells were used to make strong antitoxins, but they are incomplete and require a skilled mage to finish them. They are promised to another party in Kincaidine. I need someone to deliver these vials. And if that is your point of return, it's simply on the way. Return the vials, and you'll have the third egg in tow.
How's that? You got some sort of delivery system? Or we gotta walk our asses all the way back up here?
Oh, no. Well, it is a delivery system I work on called Trust.
Huh.
You are working for the royal family in some capacity, or maybe you are spies, or maybe you are members of the Adventuring Guild. We can begin a relationship. A friendship, even. Mutually beneficial.
Yeah, I reckon that'd be nice. Yeah.
As do I. So, upon you leaving the camp, I'll give you the vials. You'll deliver them to the place I need them delivered to. And that'll be that.
Who do we need to take them to?
There's a man by the name of Halfpence. He's a dockmaster in the dock ward. You'll find him in an import yard called the Lazaret. They are a secretive bunch, so I'll give you a small coin that dictates that you are friends of Halfpence. Would that be amenable?
For this, we get one extra egg?
Yes. And as I mentioned to your human friend, who... aren't you burning? Wouldn't you like a wider brim for your hat? Would create a relationship between us, and you would be welcomed back into the Circle of Vultures, should you find it fit. I like making friends, believe it or not.
Maybe we talk about it amongst ourselves and then we get back to you after the ritual.
Well, take your time. Jorn still needs to die. The other druids put it at another hour or so. Take a walk around the camp. Return to me with your minds made up. The vultures have seen you. For now, you are safe.
Okay. Thank you, Caelan. I think I will be exploring just a little bit. Hop out of Rook's sack. I just turn around and walk away.
As you walk away, another vulture flies down and lands on his forearm, and it looks like he looks over to it, almost like talks to it. What do you guys do?
Yeah, I just want to take a walk around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Walking away and just kind of browsing around, just exploring, walking around.
So, we have half an egg already, from the information.
I think you upped that to a full egg, right?
That's true. So we have 1.5 eggs total, correct? Yeah. 1 with us and a half Beckett Brewsters, right?
So we have half a Brewsters. He gave us a half for your... Actually, sorry.
We have half a Brewsters. He gave us a half for the Elvish inscription. And they gave us a full egg. He gave us a full egg for the Saninion talk, I believe. Am I wrong?
I think you're making up math.
No, I think he gave another half for your information.
We have a full egg from him. Yeah. So we have 1.5 eggs right now. An egg inventory.
Welcome to Egg Talk. Everybody gather around. Take a seat.
So we need...
We didn't even make the joke that the brass dragon's eggshells are brown eggs.
Fuck, are they?
Yeah, they're brown.
Love that.
So we need another 1.5 eggs. And each one is 20 gold, he said.
Yeah,
I said 20 gold.
He seems obsessed with Rook here. I don't like it.
Am I missed some boys? He just seems like he wants to have a conversation with the kid.
I don't like the fact that he continues to say pick his brain.
I thought he was going to give us an egg for it.
I'm with my man here. If he thinks it's fine.
Give me one moment, okay? I want to walk away from the group and just, like, sprawl out on the ground and kind of weirdly, like, try and connect as hard as I fucking can and meditate. Feel as much of the barren land as I can.
Okay.
You can sense the individual footsteps of all the people in this camp, as well as your party members around you. Closing your eyes and tightening them. It's going to take you some time to really delve in, but at this point, you guys all just see Honto sprawl out on the ground. Like he's making snow angels for a second.
Yeah, I'm taking as long as I fucking need to, too.
I said to you guys.
Well, I don't think he's gonna hurt me. Maybe he'll teach me something.
For some reason, I don't think he's going to hurt you either. But you know who might be able to know what other eggs are? Is Jorn. He's a dying man. He's still alive. Do you think it's worth talking to him?
I think he's there voluntarily, isn't he?
He is.
He just wants to die in peace, if you ask me. Why would he give us any information if he's that committed?
I don't know, but you're right.
And the guards are right there.
Yeah, I don't think he would be giving us much, to be honest. But I do think it would be very nice to have these people as allies, as friends.
Me too. They are a little creepy, though.
A little bit, but that's okay. I don't know what you want to do with your life, but I think that these people could help me very much.
Me too.
Honto, you are able to reach a transitive state that is very reminiscent of times prior to last night. Natural and nothing seems amiss.
Like I feel good in this area.
Yes.
As good as I could.
It's like, almost as if last night you had a scab and tonight you have a scar. Or today you have a scar, I should say.
Alright. I recoil back up. Kind of jog back over to you guys. I trust you, Rook. You can do what you think is right. You've made it this far.
Okay. I'll go have a conversation.
I go back.
Make your way back. What are the three of you guys doing?
Thor did say they trade. Perhaps we could get something cheap here on the off chance we could turn a profit back in King Giddy. No?
Hell, land against that.
We have 20 gold to work with, right? We have enough rations to get us home.
Yeah. We trust this guy. No need to watch our friend. He's alright.
I trust Rook.
Yeah.
I do as well.
So, the three of you browsing goods?
And I would say, well, if I could speak collectively, if we're having a kind of like conversation, browsing goods with the intent of saying, well, that's a good deal, kind of thing, you mm-hmm. know, like.
So, one thing becomes quickly apparent. Almost, maybe you take 10 or so steps around the camp. You see off to the side, someone jarring something. That I would say Honto has seen before. Levi has seen before. Cree, I don't think that you've seen this thing. But both of you know that it's not easily found in King Kadeen or many of the cities in the northern region of Tassania. Honey being jarred. This guy looks like he's got this spigot and is carefully jarring things and scooping it in, and it looks like he has 60 or so jars that are set up on a table here, kind of down below.
Is it like kind of a bigger place where people are doing this, or does it seem like just like individuals have shit out?
Individuals have shit out. Looks like he has like a kid who's helping him a little bit, but this is one of the first things that you do notice.
Mm-hmm.
Walking through the area, you didn't notice people with like a sign that says like fresh bananas, $16. You know, you haven't noticed any outward merchants or anything like that.
Got it.
This is one thing of value that you do notice that looks like it's in abundance here right now, that you do not know an easy place to find it in northern Tassini in general.
Yeah, walk up to him.
Yeah,
walk up to him. He raises his head. He's wearing orange robes, similar to a lot of people here. Greetings.
Hello. This honey looks delicious. How much for a jar?
Oh, yes, we could sell it. Five or so silver pieces. So, well, anything is for sale. If you are interested in buying it,
5 silver apiece. Myself, I could take 3 jars. No, I'll take 3 jars from you.
Sure, absolutely. I appreciate the patronage.
What's silver to a gold?
10 to 1.
It's all tens.
Right? Yeah, it's all tens.
Sorry, how many silver do you say?
10.
10.
Oh, he said 5.
5 silver. Yeah, put me down 3 as well.
Sure, absolutely.
You mind getting just a taste beforehand?
Oh, absolutely. And he opens up a jar that looks like he just sealed, sticks it out, stick a pinky in.
I like sneak in there.
Sneak in off the edge, Honto sticks a pinky in. It's sweet.
Can I pick up Cree?
Cree, do you allow yourself to be picked up?
Yeah, I'm like... And then I just full kobold tongue in a jar.
It tastes great. It tastes really good. Everybody roll nature.
15.
19.
14.
Well, everybody knows that, at least you three. What do you need to make honey?
Bees.
You have not seen a single bee.
I thought I'd get a prize.
You have not seen a single bee up to this point.
Did somebody mention bees, like, 2 sessions ago? Did the guy that we were talking
keen
to in the
mind,
crowd mention
Keen
bees?
Mind. See, now I have to tell you. Keen Sorry. Mind, I have to tell you. Tord mentioned with the mead. The mead is used to make honey, or the honey is used to make mead. He didn't see a bee when he was there. He mentioned that, yes.
Got it. And we haven't seen bees in this camp.
No, not at all. Not once.
Can I ask, how'd you procure so much honey?
Oh, it is a secret.
Fair enough.
But it's...
I'm an honest man myself. I wink at him.
And he kind of like catches himself in the middle of an explanation and then just kind of like gives you a nod and trails off. But you guys purchase your honey. Over to Rook.
Sorry, I want to buy it too.
Yeah. So. Oh, you want to buy some too? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, hey, little buddy.
No.
Dude,
that's all.
I
throw him.
No, it's perfect to the situation too because he looks down and he's like, oh, sorry, dude. Sorry, buddy.
I'm just holding up like 3 fucking silver pieces or, you know, 15 silver so I can buy 3.
Yeah.
He's like, do not call me buddy.
Yeah. He gives you yours as well.
Okay.
And then back over to Rook. Rook, what are you doing?
I walk into Kaylin?
Kaylin. So you walk back to that area that I was talking about, basically behind this larger yurt tent, and you can see that post with all the vultures perched up on it, vultures buzzing about above, and Kaylin is down there. It looks like he's on one knee, looks like he's got a vulture in his hand and just kind of like, not petting it, but it looks like he's almost like cleaning it, and he looks over as you approach.
Hi, Kaylin.
Hello, Rook.
You wanted to talk.
I did. And he picks up the vulture and just kind of like throws it up and it flies off. You can see
watch it.
Behind him in the distance and the direction that this vulture goes, this huge open valley. You guys are pretty high up, so it's a steep drop down below. He turns to you and motions for you to follow as he walks closer to the edge.
Follow.
He sits down on the edge, lets his feet dangle below and taps the sand beside him.
Sit.
He reaches in his pocket, pulls out something, chews on it, takes a piece, hands it to you.
I take it. Have you ever seen this before?
You have.
What is it?
It is a dried date.
Okay.
I'm told that your land is lush and verdant.
Oh, it's beautiful. I eat a date.
Tastes good. I'm told that your people are too.
We are.
I met a man many, many moons ago who spoke very highly of your people.
How long ago?
A year or so.
Human?
That he was.
You remember her name? Maybe I know him.
Don't. I never caught his name, but he was a poet. He said that he wrote poems based off of his time spent in the place where the cactus flowers bloomed.
Do I know anything about that?
Roll history.
Three.
Never heard of it.
What did he say about us?
That you were kind.
The kindest in the world.
So it would seem. I have questions I'd like to ask you about your people.
I'm all ears.
You said your name was Rook.
Yeah. Well.
This man tells me that you have another.
I do.
Could I hear it?
The steamy sand beneath my toes.
Wonderful. Your people are isolated.
A bit, indeed.
As are mine.
Yeah, I suppose so.
My people face the slings and arrows of outsiders.
Yeah, I've went through the same kinds of things.
This isolation that our tribes have, do you think it benefits us?
For the soul, I do. But physically, no. It's hard being isolated.
I feel as though, for my people, it breeds only ostracization, always looked upon as outsiders. I want to know if you feel the same.
I mean, look at me. I've never left the place where the cactus flower blooms until recently, until I met these guys, and I mean, I get stared at everywhere I go. I don't mind it, though.
I wonder if it would be easier for my people.
If you weren't isolated?
At our heart, we are just people. Our traditions are odd. Some would call them barbaric. It was just a thought I had. Your situation with your people seems very similar to mine.
I agree. Have you ever felt disrespected by outsiders?
In our case, it's a little different. They fear us. Think us boogeymen.
Quite the opposite for us. That's why I'm out here.
I respect that.
I'm trying.
Well, and he kind of reaches in and grabs another dried date and hands it out to you.
I eat it immediately.
He eats his too, and you guys are looking out over this vast, beautiful, beautiful vista.
Mm-hmm.
You can see on the edges of your vision these vultures that circle around. Can I ask you another personal question, Rook?
Yeah.
I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but with my practices, it is simply a facet of my curiosities. Your physiology. Do you have a heart?
Do I have a heart?
Do you have bodily organs? Intestines?
Why are you asking that?
As I said, I don't want it to come off the wrong way. It is a curiosity, a morbid one. But to better understand you and your people and...
I get, like, sarcastic with him.
Kaelin. Do I look like I have a heart? No, I don't have a heart.
I'm
a plant.
Do you have a soul, Rook?
I believe so, yes. That's probably the biggest thing that I do have.
Kind of looks off in the distance. Stands up. Gives you a nod. Slow nod. Thank you.
Can I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure. And he reaches his hand down to try to help you up.
I grab.
Yeah, and he lifts you up and kind of starts moseying back over to the rod with all the vultures perched on it. Ask away.
I know you say that your people are looked at like boogeymen, and I do think that on the outside things are a little creepy here, but I don't think you guys are all so bad.
Well, you've met us in a kind light. I have no outward animosity to you. This kindness that you may be shown here, do not mistake it for any sort of weakness. We are strong people.
No, you look, trust me, very strong. But the vultures, I do believe, are beautiful.
They are. And they are the journeyman. When a person dies, passes on, their soul moves on to the next place. But their bodies need help. They need vultures, fungus, maggots, things to bring the body to its end destination. Decay is the third stage. Life, death, it's not all two-sided, there is the third. Overlooked little brother of sorts. Decay, decomposition, the transient state of the body. The soul rises and goes to wherever it goes, whether it be the Beastlands or Mount Celestia or the 666 layers of the Abyss, wherever. But the body itself, the body needs the vultures. So they are beautiful, you are right.
Makes sense. It's very natural here. How long have you been doing druidry?
I was born into it. Raised here. The people here learned quickly to trust me and my guidance and my connection to nature. My connection to the vultures.
I practice druidry myself.
You do?
I do.
How far along are you in your journey?
I feel that maybe I should be further along with as much experience as I do, but you know how education is in the place where the cactus flower blooms. But I like to use my powers to heal.
That is admirable.
Yeah. I hope to someday be able to change shape. Can you do that?
You see him quickly switch forms and immediately turn into a vulture. Just kind of on there, and he kind of moves his neck a little bit, and his neck is all kind of crooked, and his wings extend out.
Rook kind of like geeks out for a second. He's like, mm-hmm. Wow.
Kind of takes 2-3 steps, spins around, and then changes back.
That I can, Rook.
Amazing. Truly amazing.
Well, if you ever find yourselves here for an extended period of time, I'd be happy to teach you as much as I can. You say that you want to use your powers to heal.
Yes.
I think that is admirable, for although I worship the decay, the end, I do believe that everything should be done within your power to abstain from that end. For as long as possible.
Well, maybe one day you can teach me some shapeshifting.
I'd be happy to. You see,
thanks, Caelan.
Vulture just like quickly descend down, almost like a nosedive, and land right on his bracer. And he kind of like raises it up to his ear, nods for a second, and then extends his arm out, and the vulture flies away. Jorn has died. I wager the wounds. He has not rested yet. We will go. Find your friends.
Okay.
I go find them.
Mm-hmm. So, back in the camp, what's everyone else doing?
As we're looking around, like the different wares and such, is there anything dragon related, a dragonborn related, kobold related?
No. No. Nothing of the sort that you notice.
Okay.
And it's not like as you guys are perusing that you're finding like bits and baubles or trinkets or anything like that. It all seems very utilitarian. You do see rations for sale, you see water skins, you see boots, hide, armor, stuff like that. But nothing like jewelry or beads or this or that. All very utilitarian type stuff.
Yeah, anything like alchemy based?
Yes, you do see different alchemical components that do appear like they're for sale. A lot of it is crushed herbs and different kinds of flowers, for the most part.
Anything uncommon to down where we are?
I would say no. For the most part, at least the alchemical components that are for sale here, nothing that's out of the ordinary.
Okay.
Honey has definitely been the big thing.
Okay.
15 or so minutes pass by, and you do see one of the things that you pick up on, as these people are going about their daily lives, some of them look like they're hanging laundry, some of them look like they're, you know, washing clothes, stringing bows, like I mentioned, is one thing. Weapons that are set up, axes, you know, leaned against tents and stuff like that. Vultures will descend from above, come down, and just like sit amongst the people and just like hang out, walk around, peck around. The people don't seem to mind. Some of them even like throw them food scraps and stuff like that. But throughout this process, and you guys buy your honey and any other perusal of wares that you're interested in, you see a big cactus man enter your field of vision from behind you.
Rook.
Hi.
How did it go?
It went pretty good. He's pretty nice.
It's good to hear.
Jorn has passed. Should probably make our way over there.
So there's people moving in that direction at all?
No.
Okay. Kind of. You can take the lead. Like I'm.
Okay.
I'm
letting I'll
you,
lead.
I'm letting you. You know.
Where are you heading?
Back to where Jorn was hung up at.
Back towards where Jorn was hung up at. Making your way towards the entrance where you came in. Kaelin didn't follow you, but you see him outside of the gates, holding Jorn in his arms, lifting him up, slinging him over his shoulder, and walking. He's flanked by two guards, and it looks like there's the two guards originally that were there, as well as two additional guards that look there, males, holding spears as well. And Kaelin, walking with this corpse on his shoulder, takes a couple steps towards the entrance, sees you, gives you a nod, and continues on. As he passes that threshold into the camp, you can see all the people around shift their focus towards Kaelin entering. Takes a couple steps in, and everyone else goes ahead towards where Kaelin is walking towards that large, flat rock in the center. The tall, tall, red, flat rock. They begin making their way there. And Kaelin is just walking with composure, walking casually. What are you guys doing?
Just following, I guess, right?
Yeah, following that crowd, yeah, that gets in front.
Quickly, a crowd amasses surrounding this large red rock, and Kaelin walks through, and they almost like part as he walks, and they're quiet, they're solemn, they're not shouting, there's no ruckus, anything like that, and he calmly walks, and the four guards stop at the base of the steps. Like I mentioned, there's stairs that are carved spiraling up this rock all the way to the top. Kaelin begins ascending with Jorn over his shoulder. Everyone's quiet. Some of them have their heads down, almost like in a prayer of sorts. The birds above, almost like open. And where they're blocking out the sun, they open to allow light directly onto this rock. The rock's flat, and now it looks this bright orange color as this beam of light comes down, as Kaelin crosses up, and you can see his head, shoulders, waist extend up, standing at the top of the rock. And he leans Jorn off of his shoulder, places him down on the rock, gently looks out towards the crowd of people. It seems like there's probably, it's not the full capacity of all the people that you've seen here. Some people aren't around. Looks like maybe about 50 or so people, including you guys. Jorn is laying down. Kaelin moves his arms open, kind of spreads them out. He's laying on his back, and Kaelin puts his hand on Jorn's chest, takes out a dagger quickly with this deep thudding sound, and you can hear the crack of bone even from this high up, shove the dagger into the chest and rip down. You can see, and maybe even hear with the quietness here, this crunching sound as Kaelin begins digging into his chest and spreading it open just a little bit, not to the point to crack bone. Kaelin stands up, sheathes the dagger, points his finger up to the sky above and shouts, "Carrion keepers, take what is due. Life feeds on death, and death renews." As he finishes that sentence, he starts to quickly descend down, as down from the top, all of these vultures above begin to dive bomb directly onto this raised rock. Swarm of vultures. Not all of them. I would say probably about 20 or so, and begin eating this body. Kaelin begins descending down, and as he comes down, he looks over towards Rook and the rest of the people here. Some of them are looking up, some of them are looking down, almost like praying. Kaelin looks over to Rook. "The innards will be red when the sun sets. For now, we feast. You and your friends can join us. Come to my tent. We have tables set, food ready, splendor to be enjoyed."
"Okay."
He walks away. Nobody really follows him immediately. Some people look like they're finishing prayers. Other people look like they're just watching all these buzzards just digging in, and you can see it. And it looks pretty visceral, rending into this guy, ripping out chunks. Some of them take pieces and fly back up. You see one of them carrying like his nose connected to a bit of his upper lip and just fly off, digging into this guy. Kaelin heading towards back where his tent was. "What are you guys doing?" It's taken every bit of me not to ask you guys to roll sanity, by the way.
I guess going to the tent.
Yeah.
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 You guys go up to the tent. As you guys begin making your way there, you do see a decent handful of people, maybe I'd say 20 or so, making their way there as well. Stepping into the tent, it does look a lot larger inside than it does outside. Large row of tables extending up. It looks like three or four picnic-sized tables that have been kind of smushed together. And a lot of food set up that you can see. Even from here, bowls of dates and figs. You see a pomegranate bowl, olives. There's like some different beans, glasses that contain probably milk or something else. Meats. Looks like there's a rack of lamb and a whole lot of stuff. Kaelin makes his way towards the head of the table. Everyone else who comes in, almost as if like this is Christmas dinner. Laughing, talking, a little bit of shoving too, like joking, sitting down, grabbing a plate, and beginning to eat. What do you guys do?
As soon as I sit down, I say a fucking prayer to see the row. Close my eyes and just stare, just face down and just pray. Like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Rook just starts eating.
Yeah, I think Honto's just kind of staying close to Rook, following his lead.
I'm just eating some fucking pomegranate right now.
Chowing.
Levi?
Yeah, is there spots set up for us?
Doesn't look like it. No, people are just funneling in. Yeah. You might be able to get a spot next to one of the guys, but the four of you might be spread out a little bit.
No, if I can, staying close to Rook.
Yeah, easy enough. Do you eat?
Things that I recognize, yes.
Yeah, and there are some things that you recognize. Wow, actually. Yeah, some of the fruits you definitely recognize. Figs, pomegranate, stuff like that. Honto, are you eating?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Enjoying, and the food is good. There's like beans, fava beans, chickpeas, some other stuff, and there is a point where maybe like 5 minutes into eating, and people dig in and they're eating with their hands. Kaelin is sitting at the head, and he kind of taps on the table a couple times. Vultures, I would like to raise a toast to our four friends. The first outsiders to witness our ritual in quite some time. Think of them as friends. Jorn will be red when the sun sets. From there, we will plot our course. For now, enjoy, eat, and be merry. And everyone pays attention to him, and when he finishes, Kaelin sits back down, everyone goes back to eating, and Kaelin walks up behind Rook and Levi and has a bottle in his hands. Looks like it's got some red liquid in it. This is wine made from dates. I'd like you to have it. You can drink it now or have it later, but it's my gift to you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we appreciate the hospitality.
The Al-Dawakil is not finished yet, but I know the ritual can be difficult to watch sometimes, but it's very necessary. And Jorn knew that.
Understood. Thank you, Kaelin.
Can I ask? Was he apologetic when he came back?
There's a reservation that he held, for sure, but...
Did he know his fate?
He did. And he would not have returned if he accepted it not.
Yeah, yeah.
The information we can glean from his reading is valuable, and it makes up for his actions. All of us must be read at some point. It gives information on the tribe, or our families, or the state of the world.
I don't mean to overstep, Kaelin, but is there any information you'll be able to give us?
If it's relevant, I'd be happy to.
Okay, thank you.
Enjoy.
I continue to eat a pomegranate, stuffing my face with it.
And what are you guys doing?
Just filling up.
Yeah, I don't think Honto's saying too much. Kind of just wants to get this shit over with at this point.
Yeah.
The food is good, like I mentioned. Quickly, the meal finishes. People begin making their way out of the tent. Empty plates left on the table. Kaelin rises again, looks over to the four of you. As I mentioned, we can't do the reading until the sun sets, which isn't for another 5 or so hours, I'd wager. You're welcome to stay in here, peruse the camp. Whatever you please. But if you'd like, I would like very much for you to be there for the reading.
What do you boys think?
Is it 4 or 5 hours?
Yeah. 4 or 5 hours, I mean. Well, I'm going to meditate long and hard on this. Maybe work out and exercise my body a little bit as well.
Hell, if we're not spending the night, I'm okay to get out of here. Right after. Maybe we take a nap now, lay down. Our friend here doesn't have to be in the sun all day.
Yeah, I suppose that's fine. I may nap somewhere else to get a little more peace and meditation, but yes, we'll rest.
I can use a short rest.
You're welcome to lay here. Bed rolls around the edges. But once the reading is completed, I'll give you the eggshells, and I'll give you the vials to deliver if you so choose.
Rook lays down.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, like that too.
I want to walk a decent ways outside of the encampment to a higher up dune.
Okay.
And rest atop it but meditate, you know. Not full conked out, sleep, rest.
Gotcha.
And I want to, when the sun is about to set, so, you know, at the end of this period before we rest, when we're done our rest, I haven't done it yet in the campaign, I want to paint.
Gotcha.
In my meditation.
Gotcha. So as you make your way out of the entrance and out into a nearby dune, you can see the camp, and it's a pretty good clear view of the camp, and you can see this rock in the center and the buzzard still eating, everyone else back in that tent resting down, continuing your excursion into the camp, the circle of the vultures, meeting Kaelin of the vultures and witnessing half of Alda Wakil. That is where we're going to pick up next session.
Thank you for listening to this installment of Shadow of the Seven, Nasty Table Production.